All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, the NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies Chuck and John, remote location special podcast. Actually, but this is back to our roots. Mm-hmm. We are back at John's house. We are doing this. We moved the studio, so to speak, and to put out a special pre-Thanksgiving.
We're in the control center.
We're back in the hive.
We're like Ozymandias and Watchmen with many screens, and we're looking at them all at once and soaking in the information. Then we're going to blow up a giant squid.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the move.
And that squid's name? Stan Van Gundy.
Very good. So, gentlemen, how are we doing this evening? Chuck, how are you? You look very regal and proper. Right. He's stroking his beard for our listeners.
Thanks. I'm doing well. Having a wonderful, week. Everything's been going wonderfully.
More
perfectly.
Importantly, what did you have for breakfast?
What I had for breakfast was a wonderful, went back to the old standard gas station sausage biscuit from the Broasters.
Broasters! One of our season one favorites. First appearance in season two.
Yeah, Broasters.
Broasters!
I was on a rush to pick my kid up and bring him to school. Had to pick up a pack of cigarettes and got me a Broasters chicken biscuit with some cheese on it. Made me feel like awful. And so that was this morning, and I'm probably going to be eating here soon.
I have a question for you. Since my son is one, your son is older.
He's two, yeah.
Okay, but you're taking him to a preschool or something.
Drop him off. I physically is 6.5 years old.
Oh, he's a big guy. I've seen pictures. But have you ever considered, and is this a thing parents do, can you Uber your kid? Can you call an Uber for your child to go to school?
If we can do that.
Billion-dollar idea.
Yeah.
I assume there's going to be more, it's 6:45 and your school starts at 7:10.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't Daddy call you an Uber X?
I think I know how to.
Let's get you to school.
We can, an Uber child small.
Yeah. No, we would just call it Scoober. And we get them kids to school before, tardy bell.
I feel like the big cities already have this. It just hasn't reached Nashville yet.
Yeah, they're called subways. I mean...
Hey, in Japan, the kids just walk everywhere. Little six-year-olds get on the subway going to school. They know where to go.
Crawling track. Uh-huh. And then they jump in front of the bullet train.
Not until the 30.
Yeah, that's right. after the salaryman lifestyle has worn them out.
Salaryman.
All right, John, what did you have for breakfast?
I woke up with ye old leg cramps, so I had a banana.
Oh, get a little potassium.
Didn't work at all. I call bull banana.
You need to hydrate.
I even did the coconut water. I did it all.
Drink a little more electrolytes. I've actually needed to hydrate. I've been having I had a fierce headache the last couple of days. It's been all the candy.
You've been breastfeeding?
It's been the candy, the lack of, I get up, I drink coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
And then I like a Coke a little later.
And then
I'm not really hydrating the way an athlete. I don't play the sports that much anymore. I'm mainly just lifting the kid up and down and walking around the house. So
as Bobby D said in Midnight Run, that coffee makes you constipated, dries you out.
Speaking of, for breakfast, mm-hmm. I had coffee and some graham crackers.
Yeah,
that's kind of like candy.
It's
a dessert.
It's a little bit like candy.
Well, my wife was, it's the Thanksgiving season. We're traveling to the in-laws, and she was making a cheesecake with a graham cracker crust.
Teddy Grahams.
Delicious.
Remember that?
But, leftover graham crackers. She calls down while I'm watching basketball last night. Hey, will you eat these graham crackers?
Yeah.
They got sugar in them, don't they?
Yeah. Cinnamon. They got toast crunch. Yeah. With diabetes.
So that was my breakfast. All right. Those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we do our breakfast in bed. Apologies. This is our chance to make right what we got wrong in any previous episodes. Gentlemen, does anyone have anything they need to make amends for?
We've apologized to him before.
Yes, John?
Hassan Whiteside.
Again?
Waffle House patron. Waffle House purveyor.
Cocked it back to Waffle House.
However, I have a different reason to apologize. I'm sorry that we brought up his meager assist total. Because apparently, according to the Twitterati, he's hunting assists.
He seems to be looking for... He's been made aware that he is being mocked for his no assists.
Now, his words don't speak to this. He's apparently... What did he say this week, Keith?
He said, I don't have assists because I'm the one dunking the ball.
Oh, hubris.
But then when he was told that he's had four assists in this season, he said, oh, man, I'm breaking records all the time.
That's great.
So, yeah, he gets it. I think... The scary part is when he figures out he wants to do something on the basketball court, he usually gets better at it, except for his free throws.
He's hyper self-aware. Is that good or bad? Coming up next on PTI.
Yeah,
just kidding. Let's move on.
Is that a Malcolm Gladwell book? What is that? Do close. Hassan, just go back to swatting shots into the stands and dunking on fools. Don't try to get assists. You're not going to learn that. It's a bit like free throws.
Yeah, oh, his free throw is not a lot of progress there yet.
You're not going to improve. Just do what you do, because what you're doing very well, much to Keith and I's chagrin and Chuck's delight.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to apologize to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're looking like a real, frisky team that can exceed what I thought was going to be, kind of a rebuild, learn with these older guys and the young kids. And yeah, they're playing these games and they're losing, close games to the Magic on the road. You want to see them win those games, but it's one of those things where you can't win big until you lose close games, and then you win close games, and then you win big games. That's the way it works. So
they're being competitive.
They're being very competitive. Rubio's playing well. Shout out to Ricky, the Spaniard. Wiggins is insane. Karl Anthony Towns is shooting 91% from the free throw line, which is nuts. He's ninth in the league. So it's a great team.
Exciting things for the Timberwolves that makes me happy and is making Timberwolves fans happy, I believe, is Zach LaVine is playing the two. He's playing the shooting guard, right, which is a must. He's so bad at the point guard.
Yeah.
But if he plays the off ball, like he's off the ball, he can do some things.
He has athleticism.
I watched the Heat lose to the Timberwolves, and LaVine's athleticism is insane. Just how quick he moves on the floor. It's like he's at a 99% speed on 2K or something.
He is. I mean, he is the athletic specimen. Everything he does is amazing. Yeah. But when Rubio is great, obviously his whole game is setting people up. And when LaVine has someone to set him up and gets him in those positions to succeed, he doesn't look like the worst player in the NBA. He looks like actually a very effective young player who has potential.
Right.
I'm not allowed to use our Twitter, but didn't a Twitter user, I don't know the name, ask for you to apologize to Rubio?
I don't even...
What did we say about Rubio?
I don't even remember what we said about Rubio.
Remind us, said Twitter user.
Yeah, give us some insight. I mean, we talk a lot of crap on
this podcast.
If he
deserves an apology, we will make it right.
Yeah, we will make it right.
He's fun to watch. He has every element of the game except for one crucial element.
Yeah, it's
shooting the basketball into the hoop.
Yeah, so at Ryan Trimble on Twitter, give us a heads up. Where do we say anything bad about Rubio? I know we weren't like praising him at any point.
I'm not worried about it.
We were probably just reminding the world of his historically poor shooting, but sure, Mr. Thimble.
Speaking of poor shooting, that leads to my apology. My apology is to Kobe Bean Bryant. He has been a punching bag of this show for far too long. We haven't shown him the proper respect.
What?
But here's why. Andy Bailey on Twitter points out that there's been 774 seasons in the NBA in which a player has averaged 16 field goal attempts. At least 16 field goal attempts. And Kobe Bryant's true shooting percentage this season, a perfect 774 out of 774.
He's an artiste. The artist is present.
Absolute perfect. Oh, wait. That means he's last.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that means he's...
No, the worst.
It's literally the worst shooting season we've ever seen.
Ever in the history of the
for
NBA.
For someone taking... I got that wrong.
Is that why we're supposed to apologize?
I'm sorry. I think I got that wrong.
You need to apologize to yourself.
Yeah.
You know who's number one? The best shooting season we've ever seen?
Big Cat? Oh, the best shooting season we've ever seen? I would say Dirk.
Right now, Steph Curry?
It's Steph Curry right now. Right now, we are seeing the insane number one true shooting percentage of all time in Steph Curry, and the worst, this is for people with 16 or more field goal attempts, Kobe Bryant is the worst. So,
No apology for Keith. In your face, Kobe. Alienating our Laker listeners one at a time. All right. Those
DJ
were
Coach.
Our,
DJ Coach.
No, those are our apologies. Now, after our apologies, our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week? After my miserable non-apology, I will do a another thing that will lose us probably listeners. I'm going to talk about referees. I saw a... This demonstrates my level of nerddom. My best thing, it's a short week anyway. This short week, there was a referee call that I loved. It was...
Crawford in the Clippers game?
No, it actually had nothing to do with offensive fouls on kickouts on jumpers because our civilization will end because of people falling down shooting jumpers. I hate it.
The Chandler Parsons?
No, this was a random play with Evan Fournier.
Ah.
Where he got fouled on a drive to the bucket. It was in the shooting motion. He, however, after getting fouled, took an extra step, as some will do once the whistle blows, and made the layup. The referee called correctly shooting foul, but no bucket because he traveled. So he called foul, no basket, two shots. To the
probably the only time he called traveling that entire game.
It could be. To the consternation of the commish, Vic Mackey.
Yes.
Scott Skiles, the play-by-play and color guy on the local broadcast, out of their minds confused. could not comprehend what was occurring. But I was just so excited because that's a play you see all the time where a guy gets fouled and then...
I call it the Marc Gasol.
Well, sure. Or, yeah, you, so
takes
you pull through...
six steps and throws it over his head.
And or like LeBron is a king at it where right. He gets fouled and he takes even an extra step or he does the double hop and the referees are like, well, that was an and one. And even a lot of times they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a travel, but since we called the foul, that's count the bucket.
Well, I'm sure they're momentarily
distracted. I was so excited to see the...
As you've seen from Carmelo's antics after whistles, that whistle's shrill and distracting.
Oh, Carmelo, turn the hearing aid down, buddy.
I know.
During those games, those whistles really startle him.
And this isn't the first time I've seen him do that either. So as I'm now watching every Knicks game religiously...
How can you not?
this does harken back to antics of Carmelo past.
Right.
Old Scrooge Anthony, he's got soft eardrum. He doesn't like it.
Anyone else? What's your steak and eggs?
My steak and eggs, we're going back to old White Sizzle. The boy Hassan Whiteside is having a historically great NBA defensive season. It's early, duh. But 63 blocks, more than 12 teams in the NBA, 85.7 defensive rating, better than the best ever, which was... Ben Wallace in 03 when it was 87-something.
Interesting.
Block percentage is 12.9. Manute Bol has the greatest of all time at 10.
You keep comparing him to these marginal historic players that I've
Well, I'm saying
about.
No. These are all-time great numbers.
Ben Wallace
numbers.
Is having his number retired this week, I think. Yeah. Well,
don't you poo-poo Ben Wallace.
University Pistons. Of Champaign, Illinois. The Pistons are retiring Ben Wallace's number.
Yeah.
He had 3 good years.
Love them. Championship.
Who's
you're Charles Barkley? And I'm waving. I'm Kenny waving my ring in your face.
Are they going to retire Rodney Stuckey's number next? What the hell are they doing?
Did he win a ring? He didn't win a ring.
Did he? Yeah, he won two rings.
Rodney Stuckey with them.
Oh, Ben Wallace did.
Ben Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, that he is not deserving of such.
I'm just. I don't know.
So no one can wear the number 3 ever again in Detroit.
I know. I know. I feel like you're blown past a moment right now that I want to recognize.
I'm sitting in my boys.
Chuck is not only enjoying his Miami Heat. Chuck went and got stats.
I got stats, dog. And you're pooping on my stats.
Chuck showed
dog.
Up to the podcast and had prepared some stats.
And lo, thusly, I am declaring a moratorium on Hassan Whiteside references for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, no more.
As he piggybacked my Hassan's lack of stats.
That's fantastic.
With his own.
That's fantastic, Sean. What's your steak and eggs?
Mine is. It might seem a touch confusing, but if Steph Curry wasn't having such a historic season, I feel like we would be talking about the incredible story that is Paul George. And instead of that, he's scoring 25 points and chipping in 25 points a game, chipping in everywhere else he can. The Pacers are, you know, surprisingly good, I think.
I'd give him surprisingly.
And all we're talking about is still this, is he a 3 or is he a 4 ludicrousness. I mean, he'd get my... Everyone has Steph as... If we had MVP votes, God help us if we ever do. Because I'm giving it to Marc Gasol every year.
Even after he retires.
He's been retired for 10 years. Marc Gasol, if he played.
Besides Steph Curry, Paul George would be my MVP vote. And I know that it's not often that you even talk about MVP candidacy for people who are like not in second or third or first place. But Paul George has been outstanding. And it's funny that he hates analytics so much because his analytics are off the charts.
Analytics love him, or the numbers love him right now.
The feeling may not be mutual, but Paul George, good on you. Shoe in for comeback player of the year, I would say.
I was going to say that my wife asks me frequently, just out of the blue, hey, how's that guy, how's that Paul George doing? Just because she was aware of the injury.
You don't forget. So yeah, like that
stuck, that stuck. So she, and I reply, amazing. He's doing incredibly.
I still do the thing with Joe Theismann. I just look over to my significant other and go, how's Joe Theismann doing?
Although, I will counter that with, I'm very excited he's back to his pre-injury level. He's playing incredible.
I think he's past his pre-injury
level. But also, if you look at that, whenever that was it 13-14?
Mm-hmm.
He tailed off. He started the season.
Yeah, he always does that.
Spectacular, a couple months. He should be on the Raptors.
Absolutely.
They're all about playing amazing for 6 to 8 weeks.
A little Atlanta Hawks action, maybe?
Yeah.
He'd fit right in the East.
Fit right in. That is great. All right.
That division's ready for Paul George.
So I think we're all happy. Everyone in the NBA family, as distant outsiders as we are, very happy for Paul George. But now let's talk about the opposite of the best things. What's the worst thing you saw this week? What's your cream of wheat worst of week?
As we're recording, the Wizards are receiving another beatdown from a team they're supposed to be better than. And I can't help but notice that Don Newman is still wearing that giant eye patch. This was at one point humorous, quirky, yes. Now it's full-blown Bond villain. He looks like Largo from Thunderball.
It isn't.
And it's not really an eye patch. It's like an athletic supporer. That
it
should be on someone's
dick. It is a fashion statement.
Why can't it be
smaller? It seems to be a medical
or different. Does it have to stay enormous and cover up? He looks like Kano from Mortal Kombat. It's not an eye patch.
I don't know. Producer Keith is nervous
Kano
about calling him out, but I do like this is the deep cut obsessive NBA fan.
Yeah.
If you've seen a Wizards game, you've noticed there's a man on the bench.
Oh, if you've seen a Wizards game, you've noticed.
You know what's amazing about this is how John just bigged up Paul George, and Paul George scores 40 to beat the Wizards and also counteracts his own last thing that he just praised Paul George for. He's the reason they beat them. Paul George is insane. They should have. If Paul George scores 40 points, it's hard for Indiana to lose.
Also, not even just Paul George. We could mention that the Pacers, out of the blue, midstream, if you will, in the trajectory of their franchise,
right,
decided we should not play big and slow.
They did the quickest read.
They swapped all their players out, except for like the backcourt. It's like the Paul George and then CJ Miles and George Hill.
This is some like Dennis Miller after 9/11 ethos change. They just went from Roy Hibbert and trudging up and down the court in cement boots to just flying up and down the court.
Vogel,
and they're doing this with Jan Mahinmi.
And
the
Vogel
center.
Vogel made Hibbert and Lance Stevenson a thing.
Yes.
And now they've just jettisoned those guys off, and those guys are worthless.
Poison pilled other teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And now his team is playing like a small ball. They're not really up tempo, but they've just gone small ball. They've gone more of interchangeable pieces in the front court. They just Jordan Hill, you want to do like a 15-8? Cool. Like
credit
comes in and
Vogel,
does it.
All you want. You give credit goes to
Larry Legend.
Larry Legend.
Oh.
Larry Joe Bird, the hick from French Lick. Vodka drinking, Marlboro smoking, Steve Weiser drinking, Larry Bird.
Oh, man.
Chuck, your worst? Please put that eye patch away, sir.
Sorry. My worst, Kyle Anderson. Had a fast break, stole.
I don't think he can have a fast break.
This is what we're calling it.
Glacier.
A glacial break. He stole the ball from Eric Bledsoe when the Spurs were playing the Suns.
Did Eric Bledsoe have an aneurysm? How did he not get
he slipped.
Down?
Poor pick and
there
roll.
There was his first mistake.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. He trudged, I guess would be the word, down the court.
He soft-shoed.
Soft-shoed down the court.
He sashayed.
He looked like Bill Murray in Space Jam. You know what I mean? Like, it was to the, like, very slow-moving, kind of labored. If he can at all play in the NBA, his game is going to age incredibly, because when you have no athleticism, you've nowhere to go but up, you know?
Pencil
in for what?
Pencil me in. He's my favorite point center in the league.
He needs to gain that weight, get that Boris Diaw going.
Absolutely,
but
he does.
He had a breakaway dunk also in the Grizzlies game, defeating our precious Memphis Grizzlies.
Like they do.
He had a breakaway dunk where he was like cross-country skiing. He was moving so slowly.
You were waiting for him to stop and shoot a target in the snow?
Right.
Yeah, Duncan said that when he was watching him on a fast break. He said, I can get Kyle in a foot race. I can get him. That's bad.
And we all know Duncan's like 1d6 dexterity.
So right. Well, I think what it is...
Didn't Dirk Nowitzki want to race someone too? Weren't we seeing who was fast? Like Peyton or Dirk? Wasn't that a thing?
Dick Bavetta.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah, can we get Dick Bavetta, Charles Barkley, Kyle Anderson,
and Peyton Manning's torn plantar fascia.
And then
zombie from The Walking Dead.
And they all make out with each other after.
Wait a minute. Remember now
that?
You're talking.
Remember that wonderful kiss between Bavetta and...
Bavetta and Charles did swap spit. Yeah.
So gross.
All right, my cream of wheat, worst of week. I'm going thematically like John often does. This is a chip off of John.
That's right.
My best
storyteller.
My best was a random referee call that perplexed and confused the announcing crew and the coaches. My worst is also NBA refereeing, specifically the fracas with Mike Budenholzer.
Mm.
Budenholzer.
Physically intimidating, allegedly.
That was an assault.
It was an assault.
By definition.
He's
going to need counseling.
I'm completely in agreement that Budenholzer, despite Dominic Wilkins' objections on the color call.
Nate knows what's up.
He needed to be ejected because during the course of play, during live action, Budenholzer was on the court yelling and did brush, hit. He ran into the guy. I do think it was completely incidental. It wasn't like he was trying to get in his face. He was yelling to the guy. He bumped from the back. It did seem accidental. Because, I mean, the ref is running, you know, so it seemed accidental. But then the National Basketball Association, Referees Association, released this ridiculous quote talking about how he should have been suspended and as opposed to being merely fined and thrown out of that one game. They say that there's degraded safety. There's diminished respect for the game. He said because Budenholzer was physically intimidating officials, and he says to affect the game, they should be working on creating better teams, not like assaulting referees.
Look, in the post-ISIS sensitivity world we live in, baby, we're going to be seeing like the likes of Joey Crawford patrolling those sidelines with AK-47s.
Strapped up.
It's going to make traveling to Europe.
Tim Duncan's going to get his brain shot in. Calm down.
The exact quote is, coaches should compete by creating better teams, not by physically intimidating officials.
Oh.
To which Rick Carlisle, as head of the Coaches Association, had a rebuttal talking about the referees seeking Twitter fame by just throwing that little soundbite out there. So that's my cream of wheat worst is this ridiculous grandstanding. I agree. This is grandstanding by the officials, who I normally defend, because I do think if you watch any other sport, God help us, the NBA refs are the best. The fact that they get so many calls correct. The fact that like those out of bounds where like they miss it and the other ref comes in is like, no, it's this way.
Yeah.
The fact that they get those right almost all the time is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have weird end of the game plays all the time. That's gonna happen. But I normally defend them. This grandstanding is beneath them.
Will you allow me a quick aside to close?
Please.
Of course, Rick Carlisle's head of the Coaches Association.
That man has like a 12-year extension. Like that man's paid up through 2022.
King of coaches.
Really is. All right, those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. All right, Waffle House presents Scattered, Covered, Smothered, Smothered and Covered. Screwed that one.
Chopped, screwed. Whatever you want to do. There's a lot of ways to eat hash browns.
Right.
Screwed.
On
codeine.
Sipping on some scissor.
We talked about, we got real excited last week. It was our
It's our anniversary.
It was our parfait away. That's talking right. about Porzingis.
Yes.
Porzingis.
God.
The zinger.
Yeah.
The
Your
humongous.
Son's
the humongous Porzingis.
Oh, man.
How about
Lord Porzingis?
How about.
He's finally been given a. I don't know who gave him that nickname, but that's the one. Lord Porzingis.
I have one.
Yep.
The pores blocker.
I like your son's better.
So he came out again. This man.
50 fantasy points for me.
It's a fantasy bells going off.
Whoa!
That he's incredible.
7 blocks.
He is there. He is the Knicks best player.
Cock that back to Waffle House, Hassan.
You know, he's trolling me too. He says, you know who he listens to before games?
Do tell.
A rapper.
Future.
Yes.
I saw that on Twitter. Future. Chuck, I saw that on Twitter. I don't even know what it means.
You don't know what a future is?
I listen to Future.
Future is actually involved in the sports world. His ex-girlfriend, who's the R&B singer Sierra, is in a relationship with Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks.
You're just making things up using military call signs.
Sienna Miller?
Sierra of the...
Mist?
The new rapper Echo. Alpha Sierra.
That's her name. And so it's a very... He's a very interesting rapper that raps about selling drugs, doing drugs, and having sex with women to get back at his ex, which is pretty amazing and kind of my life.
If you're going to mention professional athletes that are loser virgins, can you at least keep it basketball related and use AC Green?
Okay.
Russell Wilson doesn't belong here. All glory to God.
We're crossing streams a lot going in the NFL here.
Sorry, we said Future, and I know a bit about him. So shout out to Porzingis.
So you like Future?
Oh yeah, he's probably one of the best rappers out right now. Zeitgeist. Cool.
Did you guys? Well, I say
cool.
I thought
I'm a cool guy. Cool
my Twitter feed was opposed to Future, but again, me not knowing anything, it all washed past me.
Here's a tip: your Twitter feed's going to be opposed to most things.
Yeah, and Future,
they are pretty young because the movies and the TV shows they watch are appalling.
The streets
Fast
mess
and
with Future. Yeah, that's all that matters.
Did you guys see the Denver white gold uniforms?
I didn't.
Yeah.
They're white t-shirts with a hipster logo.
Yeah, it's the
They sound like they're trying to appeal to me. Nope.
The pickaxe.
So like the Nets in reverse.
Yeah.
It's effectively that.
Isn't white gold cocaine?
I have a lot of friends who, you know, they went to college and they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do, and a lot of them are bartenders, and then the other half are graphic designers.
Right.
It's just something you do when you can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Or go get your master's.
Wait, which one is?
Both. Bartenders, okay. Graphic design.
Right, all right.
It's like, you know, here's when you really know when somebody's run out of options when they go to nursing school.
Which is honestly, when you go to nursing school, that's where you should have started in the first place.
Right. It just takes you forever. You failed at like 4 other occupations.
As a career musician,
yeah.
Who now is a stay-at-home dad / podcaster.
Right.
And when I would work with colleges a lot, and I'd work with young musicians, and I'd play piano for them, and they'd be like, hey, so I'm thinking about, should I do this?
Or nursing school.
It'd be like, should I go to New York, or should I go to master's school? Should I go to grad school? What do you think? I'm like, you should go to nursing school. Because you will make a lot more money.
Yeah.
And you will not have debt.
And work 3 days a week.
And you will work. You will have a job and you will make tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, on your path to New York.
Pros, money.
Right.
Cons, maybe getting thrown up in the face with
vomit. Cons, poop, vomit, needles.
Right.
Needles covered in poop and vomit.
Yeah.
And then also
AIDS.
You're going to end up being one of those,
That is also a side effect of the musician lifestyle.
Right. As well.
I guess poop vomit-covered needles are also...
It's also the same thing, really. All right.
Never mind.
We're a little... So look
you're
up
right.
Look
same
up,
thing.
Look up those white gold uniforms.
And then we must at least discuss the discussion about the Clippers-Dubs game, which I'm sure everyone saw.
The game that ended the Clippers...
Yeah, can we talk about that? I don't think it ends the Clippers.
Well, I'm just saying they haven't won a game, and they haven't looked like they want to win a game since then.
Sure, that's a demoralizing defeat. They were up by 20 early. They had them on the ropes. But should the best team in the NBA coming back to defeat you, should that really announce the end of a franchise? Because I feel like the PTIs of the world, and even podcasts I listen to and enjoy, are taking this way too seriously. They were up big on the Warriors, and they sort of showed a blueprint to at least weaken the Warriors by overplaying the pass and trying to force turnovers. I mean, if Blake Griffin doesn't completely stick his own head up his ass in the fourth quarter, they probably still win that game.
There's so many, but that's Clippers basketball is if this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen. I think one of the reasons is...
So you think that this defeat
It's like when I go into a movie and I expect it to be amazing, I get angry. I get crushed. And I feel like the Clippers go into this stuff thinking like, we are amazing.
Sure, with great expectations.
But if you go into the season being like, blah, we're not that great, and then the Warriors beat you, you're like, okay.
To me, I would be more excited about being the only team that's really come close to knocking them off besides the Nets.
Right.
Well,
they've done it twice now. Both games have been incredibly competitive.
And they have a schedule that's coming up that's a little light.
The Clippers?
Yeah, the Clippers do. So they're at Denver versus Utah versus New Orleans versus Minnesota and then versus Portland at home. That's 5 winnable games. You know, you're not looking at like...
I mean, I still think the Clippers, and this is, we never really talk like power rankings or who the best teams are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I still think the Clippers, close to 500, they've got to be like the fourth, fifth best team. I mean, who else would you take?
And Chris Paul's still like one of those players, like you're trying to win, you know, a series or one game. He's probably the third guy in the league you take. You know,
Whiteside. I'm sorry. Moratorium.
No, I think...
Shame.
These, you know, the big picture things with the team like that is they've got to learn to play together. They have a lot of new pieces. The bench and the second team rotations have to kind of figure themselves out. But I think that's going to take a little time. And they're not, you know, I don't think they're in terrible shape.
I heard the Zach Lowe talking, I think, about this on his podcast. And one thing he kind of
mentioned. Where the hell is his podcast now?
It's back under the same name.
Okay, but it's just an ESPN? Still there.
It's still there.
Still says Grantland?
We don't normally pump up other podcasts on our podcast, but if you have lost the Zach Lowe podcast, it's all still there.
It's public service.
It's still on the Grantland Network.
It's a PSA.
It's PSA.
You need to be listening.
So they got these off-season guys, but they haven't really played them. Like, they haven't stuck with them. They haven't tried some things. Like, Lance Stephenson takes, if you're going to commit to him, you got to let him try to go. Cole Aldridge hasn't even gotten in the game because they're doing all Jace move at the five. And
furthermore, I also think probably Clippers hold on to that lead if they had J.J. Redick. So I really don't know why
I just think it's a continuation of what has been happening to them. And
self-parity there, but there's too much Sturm. It's also November.
The panic is kind of a little overwrought, and he's going to be doing some weird things with the lineup. Wes Johnson's supposed to start, and it's going to be...
Well, also, Luke Mbamute is on that team, and he's a good player.
Yeah.
Put the Prince in.
I don't know why he's not in the game. Like,
put in the Prince.
So I think that's one of those problems when you're coach GM slash he's playing all these games with people he knows, and it's like he's playing these November games all... I don't know. He's trying too hard. Almost like you want to put some guys in, and I don't know. A lot of coaches fall into that problem, but you think that like a Doc Rivers is veteran enough coach that wouldn't be an issue. He'd be able to get past it.
I'm just saying this is much ado about nothing, a roaring mouse, et cetera, et cetera.
Clippers are going to be fine.
There was another furious comeback this weekend, though.
That there was just a couple days. Are we talking about the Hornets?
Kang's Hornets.
Yeah, yeah. That was just on Tuesday night. It was Monday night.
Yeah, some would say last night.
Okay.
This game was as if the Steve Clifford was the Coach Carter.
Right.
Who's just like, put that basketball down. Right. We're just running sprints.
That's right. Feed the licks, feed the wolf.
Yeah, yeah. So because the poor Kings got up to a massive lead, and then Boogie like banged his back. He was limping up and down the court, and then the Frank, the foreman Kaminsky came in.
Union organizer.
And Cody Zeller were just running up and down. Like, they were running circles around the King. Like, the Hornets looked... You know, they were flat all game. They were getting beat down by Rudy Gay and the stat chasing Rondo.
George Karl may want to look into doing some cardio,
or maybe playing more than 8 guys when it's clear. When like there's 5 minutes left in the game, and you know maybe it was 6 minutes left in the game, and it was still a 10-point game, and you're like, the Kings are gassed. They can't get up and down the court, and they're keeping breakouts, and then like the final. Kemba Walker's go-ahead bucket, it was almost a game-winning bucket until the Kings pulled off a really nice Rondo to Rudy Gay buzzer beater. It was like, normally Kemba Walker like does his last second move to get like a 20-footer and he bricks, you know, 70% of them. It was just an easy blow-by for a layup. We were like, this team is fresh and the Kings are not fresh.
You know how usually you see a team hit a game-tying buzzer beater and you're like, oh, well, they're definitely going to win. I mean, game over, right?
Right.
I did not feel that way about that buzzer beater.
Right, right. Well, that was like you were just prolonging the...
They were already on the ropes.
That actually was... That's also one of those... ESPN grandstand. That's why the NBA is awesome, because it was a total avalanche of Hornets. And then against the flow came an amazing buzzer beater to get it to overtime. But then again, it was still then the avalanche kept going once we got to overtime. All right. Now I think it is time for a little special thing, a game of scones, where before we started recording, I actually had Chuck and John write their answers down. I thought this would be fun.
Tried to alleviate some of the dead air that comes when our
right. So,
crippled, drunken minds grasp at straws.
So today, on Tuesday, ESPN released their real plus minus, which is their stat taking the box score plus minus and then trying to adjust it for all the things that people say. But that guy plays against, you know, they've been playing bad teams. They've been playing all their games at home, like a Miami Heat player, for example.
Since it comes from ESPN, it's probably a horribly flawed metric, but let's proceed.
It's a fun metric, but it gives you an idea, you know, when Steph Curry is clearly number one, you're like, okay, maybe that stat's pretty good. It's one of those things where you look at it and you're always like, yeah, that kind of makes sense to my eyes. So it's a fun metric. But so I asked John and Chuck, this week's game of scones is name 10 of the bottom 20 in the NBA in our real plus minus.
So shall we take turns naming them?
I think you guys just read your lists.
You want me to read the entire list?
John, read your entire list.
Okay.
And I will tell you...
yay or nay.
Yay or nay.
Let's begin with Grievous Vasquez.
That is one. That's a point for John.
Matt Barnes.
No.
What?
He didn't make the... He's low. He's very low. There's a lot of curses negative, right. But no.
D'Angelo Russell.
That's a good guess, but no.
Goran Dragic.
No.
Vince Carter?
Nope.
This isn't going well, Chuck.
Hey, I'm happy you got one.
JaVale McGee.
No. He was amazing the one game he played.
Look, I just had to throw Shaq.
No, this is hard.
Shaq and a Fool specialist. That's the legendary Shaq and a Fool specialist. This guy's running away with Shaq and a Fool this year. Ready?
Right.
Marcel Huestis.
No, but he really is.
Beno Udre.
Nope.
Jarrett Jack.
Nope.
Evan Turner?
No.
One.
So you got one. A score of one.
Beat that, Chuck.
This is very hard.
This is impossible. I named all the worst players.
You named... No, you didn't. I'm telling you right now, but you did name Grievous Vasquez, so that was your one scoring.
Okay.
I'm very happy about it.
I'll go backwards. TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell, no.
He's good. Shut up, Chuck.
Isaiah Cannon. I'm just going by...
You're going Sixers.
Sixers.
I like your strategy, but no, neither one of them made it.
Okay. Willie Cauley-Stein.
Nope.
Shabazz Napier.
Nope.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yes.
Sweet.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Emmanuel Mudiay. Yes, that's 1-1. Chuck, so how many guesses do you have left?
I have 5 left.
You have 5 more guesses, yeah. John, to see if you can get beaten.
Bam, 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 bam.
Deion Waiters.
No.
Deion's been solid.
Yeah,
actually, Deion Waiters is...
Except for when he shoots layups.
Deion Waiters, who's having a good, you know, statistical season-ish.
For him?
He's in the negative. He's low.
Still good for him.
Bano, Udra, Kobe Bryant, Deion Waiters are all at negative 3.95. So they're like 40, 30. Yeah,
but 30, they're negative.
But they're not 20.
Nice work.
Nick Stauskas.
Nick Stauskas is correct.
Son of a bitch.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Chuck got his second one. Yes. Yeah.
I also had Russell from the Lakers. Joe Johnson? No.
Oh, D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell.
No, I had him too. No.
My number one was Kobe Bean Bryant.
No, he's not. He's close though.
Is he?
2-1.
Here we go. So the bottom 20.
Yeah, just give us the bottom 10.
Okay. Well, we have Randy Foy. Well, from the worst is Randy Foy. Next is Emmanuel Mudiay, and then Tyus Jones, Ty Lawson.
Mm.
I thought you guys might get Ty Lawson.
Oh.
Reggie Bullock, Rashad Vaughn, Jahlil Okafor.
I named half the Philly roster.
That's from one bad game.
And you didn't get him. Mm-hmm. Grievous Vasquez, as you said, Josh Richardson from the University of Tennessee
in Miami.
Kelly Oubre, Jimmer Fredette, who has played 13 minutes.
Yeah, this is hogwash.
Archie Goodwin, Gary Neal, so on and so forth. I love bad stats.
Jahlil Okafor.
That's weird.
Have you seen his stats when Nerlens Noel is not on the court?
His on-offs are not great.
When Nerlens Noel is not on the court, Jahlil Okafor is like an unstoppable monster. So they've got to split those two guys up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, now for the awards segment. We're really wallowing in the negativity, which is my way. Mm-hmm. So now for the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. Since it is a short week, we're doing this 4 days since our last one, we didn't have the best lines. But I do need to say, honorable mention goes to DeMar DeRozan, who probably put up the most Stackhouse line we've seen. 4 for 16, but 13 for 14 from the line.
How many penalty minutes for fighting?
Yeah, 21.6 boards. That's
not very Stackhouse-ian without a fight.
He didn't accost anyone.
Did he follow anyone to their team bus?
Just saying, that's the bricklaying artistry that Stackhouse gave us. Anyway, we have presented to you chronologically as they occurred during the week. Kobe Bean Bryant, the Mamba, in a loss to Portland.
The GOAT.
6 for 22.
Oof.
Six That's for 22.
Finals-esque.
It is. It's almost NBA.
MVP.
Yeah, finals MVP-esque. Impressively, 18 points. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, no turnovers. Am I wrong in thinking this might actually be a good game?
That's pretty good for Kobe.
Pretty good.
Great Kobe game.
Marcus Thornton.
Wow.
Of the Rockets in a loss to my Grizzlies. 2 for 12. 5 points, 3 boards. Yeesh. And Langston Galloway. Of the Knicks, who's been having, he's been shooting lights out.
Yeah.
But the numbers come crashing through the floor.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
1 for 9. 2 points, 4 fouls. A steal and assist under 4 rebounds.
How has Wes Matthews stayed out of this so far?
He's been rough. And also, you know, we had a handful of over sevens.
Yeah.
Elfrid Payton, another real rough 0 for 7.
The only thing that saves Elfrid Payton from constant mentions in this segment is that he doesn't take enough shots.
Yeah,
and his hair looks like it was drawn on by a child.
He's the Boondocks.
It's perfect. So our nominees, Mamba, Black Mamba, 6 for 22. Marcus Thornton, 2 for 12. Langston Galloway, 1 for 9. I think in a vacuum, if there weren't names assigned to it, I know it's only 9 attempts.
It just looks ugly.
But Langston Galloway's is pretty terrible.
I actually think
2.4
the name assigned is good enough for me because that's kind of what Galloway is supposed to do, is make shots.
I'm all for El Boogie.
So I'm doing Langston.
Langston.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fair enough. Langston Galloway, you've had a great year. You're part of the upstart Knicks who are having a great season.
You sound like a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Do.
Maybe you should stick to the iambic
pentameter. Probably named after
the
one.
The free verse, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, congratulations, Langston Galloway. You have won the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award this week. Gentlemen, par fadeaway. No Grizzlies epilogue this week because we got Thanksgiving's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only like 3 days since our last podcast. I'm looking forward to something new that we are beginning.
What is this?
Where we provide alternate commentary for NBA games.
Yeah, we're going to give you a heads up. This will not give you any heads up.
There will be no heads up now.
Because it will have already occurred. We're going to start trying some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a website. What's it called, Keith? I don't actually know.
Rabble TV.
Oh, rabble.tv?
I don't even know. You type in Rabble TV in the search.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
URLs escape me.
Browsers now. They figure it out. They know what we want.
Yeah. Every time I ask a friend for a URL because I'm old-fashioned and stupid, they go, why aren't you just typing it into Google?
Right.
Exactly.
And then I feel shame.
You should.
But we'll try to provide some explicit yet.
Here's my par fadeaway. I don't know if you guys know this, but recently the Rockets brought in a former Navy SEAL as a motivational speaker.
Oh, yeah?
I think there's something afoot.
I hope that Navy SEAL doesn't besmirch Jesse Ventura.
Wait, when you say afoot.
I'm saying there's something going on.
Is this Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week? Par fadeaway?
The par fadeaway edition. I'm saying I think Daryl Morey is just fed up, and he's just going to straight copy the Spurs model and bring in all these military-industrial complex advisors. This wasn't a motivational speech. This was an organizational meeting to implement the New World Order tactics of the San Antonio Spurs.
Some MK Ultra waterboarding?
That's what it is.
Bill DeBergian involved?
No.
Yeah.
Clint Capella was taking acid in the back.
That's right.
It was because he's Swedish, or he's Swiss. What is
Swiss.
He, Swiss?
Swiss.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. But that's part of it, bringing in that
really
international
have that
flavor.
Emotionus.
A Swiss guy named Clint? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't think Sam Decker Fisher. Is an... I think he's a... He looks like one of those born guys.
Yeah.
When he's in Macau and sees the Ace of Spades in a game of Baccarat, he's going to pull out a sniper rifle and
he's going to kill...
Shoot Popovich. Or that, or maybe that female assistant coach, because that's too progressive.
It is. So, anyway, guys, be on the lookout for some significant... Ty Lawson's probably getting traded for a person who's French.
Can o' beans.
Yeah, it's coming along.
I like it. So that was Chuck's
plausible.
Little par fadeaway conspiracy.
What are you looking forward to, Ding Dong?
I'm looking forward to Will Scott Skiles keep breaking the psyche of all his players.
Especially Victor Oladipo, his best player.
By my count, he has now pretty much ended Alfred Payton and Victor Oladipo, his backcourt of the future.
When will he come to ruin Tobias Harris?
Tobias Harris, actually, maybe they have like absence made the heart grow fonder.
I guess.
And now he's kind of giving him
some Scott Skiles' whole coaching strategy is ruin a player, get fired, wait 3 years, come back, then he makes the player marginally better. Perhaps that's the way.
That seems like a very long way to go.
It's a long con.
I also wanted to say we gave a free little shout out to Rabble TV just there. You know how all these if you're a podcast listener, which you are, if you're hearing me talk right now,
in theory,
you've probably heard a lot of SeatGeek ads. SeatGeek does not sponsor us, but I will tell you, I've been getting murdered reselling my Grizzlies season tickets this year.
Like you do.
Like, well, nah. As will happen this year, I guess. This might be the last year of the old season ticket. but I thought I would give SeatGeek a try because they have advertised almost to the FanDuel level. Early returns, straight trash.
Trash in the streets.
Like I listed my tickets on there, and like I went to check the listings, and like I was the only tickets listed, like for the entire event. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem.
I don't get the podcast advertising because when I'm listening to a podcast, I just hit that
just
little
skip
button.
It. Yeah, skip it
as soon as I hear it, no matter how well they try to couch it or hide it.
We should have a segment called Keith Interacts with Business Online Personalities.
Or Lessons in Passive Aggression with Keith Parrish.
Keith got...
That might be my next podcast right there.
Keith was hesitant to mention Rabble because they haven't given him an iPad yet.
It begins with the word... it begins either with the word sir or ma'am.
That's right.
Every interaction.
That is my game. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Hope you guys have a great holiday weekend. If you're at it, maybe write us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. Get the old
5-star.
Get old grandma or granddaddy's iPad from them and log into their Apple Store and just write us a nice little review.
Absolutely. You know, I used to steal your friend's phone, take a picture of your balls. Don't take a picture of your balls. Write a review for Fast Break Breakfast and give it 5 stars.
You should still take ball pictures. Here's the thing. You could do both.
That's true.
But prioritize.
Sorry, but do ours first.
Anyway, so you guys follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. We appreciate you guys listening. Again, have a good holiday time. Hopefully your relatives aren't racist and stuff like that. So anyway, you guys have a good one. You're the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.